All right, do we have any more prayer requests? Oh, can I have a couple people help with the communion? Have you ever heard of the gap? The gap. Huh? The gap. It's called God's appointed place. And that's, we're to stand in the gap for people. We're to stand in the gap between them and the trouble that they're headed for. Also, you can stand in the gap for people's healing. So we're going to do that today for Delton. I know this man faithfully prays for this church constantly. And that's just something that he does. And so, Father, we're going to stand in and we're going to take communion believing for a miracle for Delton. So, Father, we look at your body, at the body of Christ. And we see these different places where Jesus was, he was beaten and bruised for Delton. Also, it was by his stripes that Delton was healed. And Father, Jesus' body was pierced and he shed his blood. And that when he shed his blood, Delton got redemption for this, and so did we. And when Jesus was on that cross, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. All of our sicknesses and all of our diseases and all of our sins were laid on Jesus so that we could be free. We thank you for the broken body of Christ, and we're taking this for our healing. We're standing in for Delton's healing in Jesus' name. Yep, that's what he does in Colorado. Well, Father, we thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus over Delton, and that covers all the power of the blood of the body of Jesus and all the authority. And Father, we thank you that that blood of Jesus has washed away our sins and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you that because of this blood, we can go boldly into your throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. And it's because of the blood of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that we have answers to our prayers. In Jesus' name. Well, all right. Last week, I want you to open up your Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to pick up where we left off. But last week, we talked about visualizing, literally daydreaming. You know, when we were kids, we used to get in a lot of trouble for daydreaming. But daydreaming is by God's design. He needs us to visualize answers to our prayers. He needs us to visualize the way things are supposed to be. See, without a vision, people are lost. Without a dream, people are lost. But how we see ourselves has very big implications on how we will be. See, remember last time we talked about the spies, and there were 12 spies went in there. They had the same promise of God. They had the same mission. They went in there into the promised land, and they seen the same things. All 12 of them seen the same things. They had the same covenant, they had the same God, they had the same promises. They had the same mission from God. Two of them come back and said, oh man, this is a land flowing with milk and honey. And they're talking about the grapes. They're talking about the good things that God had in store for them. They said, and we've seen these giants, but we can take them. And then the other 10 come back. They weren't talking too much about the land of milk and honey. They weren't talking too much about the grapes that they carried out with them that took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Can you imagine that cluster of grapes where it took two people to carry them out? But they talked about the giants. They said, we seen these giants, and we were as grasshoppers in their eyes, so we seen ourselves. Today, Christians are in the same boat as these guys. We all have the same promises. We all have the same God. We have the same Bible, the same covenant. And whether you like to believe it or not, we have the same problems. They may vary from, you know, a little bit. You know, one challenge may be sickness. One challenge may be bills. One challenge may be crazy kids. One challenge, whatever. But we got the same problems, basically. But it's, you can tell how people see themselves by the way they talk about these giants in their life. And if they're running around talking about these challenges, whether it be sickness, they'll be talking about, oh, my cancer is flaring up today, or my arthritis is flaring up today, or my this is flaring up today, or, man, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to have enough money to get to the end of the month. We might not be eating two pancakes, but one. But they talk about their problems instead of talking about their God. Instead of talking to their problems. Remember, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall have whatsoever they say. So now we have Christians running around talking about their mountains, talking about their challenges, talking about how impossible it is, talking about how hard it is, talking about, you know, if this was different, then this would be better. They talk about their problems instead of talking to their problems. Remember, in Mark 11:22, it says, have the God kind of faith. That's literally the faith that you're calling things into existence. You're calling things that aren't as though they are. Now, the thing is, to do this, without a target, you're not going to know where to shoot. So without a vision, you're not going to have a target. This is where the daydreaming comes in. What would it look like for you to be healthy? What would you do? Where would you go? What would it look like for you to have money in your pocket? What would you do with that money? But you're going to have to visualize. You're going to have to see yourself with that money in your pocket. You're going to have to see yourself as already having achieved your goal. That's why it's so important on healing. Too many people may pray a good prayer of faith, but then they see themselves as being sick. And they make all these preparations for what they will have to do to take care of themselves when they get sicker. they visualize themselves getting sicker instead of getting health, getting healed. People visualize themselves into poverty. See, you cannot just turn this thing loose and let it run like a wild rabbit, because it will. And this thing will take you down paths that you don't want to go. You have to take control of your mind. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but your mind can come up with some of the craziest ideas you ever heard of. Your mind will come up with some of the worst scenarios you ever thought of. Why is that? Because they're called fiery darts. The devil has access to your soul. He shoots these fiery darts. The Bible calls them high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And we're supposed to take those thoughts captive in the name of Jesus, cast them down. Now, a lot of people run around and they try this positive thinking stuff, and they want to try to beat a thought with a thought. You're not going to do that. That's called, you're just playing mental basketball with yourself. You're just going to run around like a wild squirrel in that cage and get more confused and finally just give up and take the worries of thought. Remember, Jesus said, "Why do you take this thought saying?" So people get these thoughts, and then they start talking about them. They start saying these thoughts, what they were afraid of. Remember, that's what got Job in trouble. So if we can take a thought by saying something, then we can take control of a thought by saying something. And we can cast that thought down. So those thoughts, those negative thoughts of how sick you're going to get come to you, you can come up with the words by saying, "No, by his stripes I was healed, and with a long life will he satisfy me and show me his salvation." You're going to say something. People are good at running their mouth. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. But you just as well say something that God says about you. Now, we need to see ourselves in the Spirit to achieve the desired results. A really good help. Let's open up to, we're going to go to Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, real quick. Psalms chapter 46, verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." God is a very present help in trouble. A lot of times, when you talk to people that are having some real serious trouble, they act as if God just left them, or he's 1,000 miles away. I like that song we just sang. The God on the mountain is the God in the valley. He didn't leave you. The Bible tells us that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. In fact, he's there in our darkest moments. Jesus walked out on the sea, and his disciples were on a ship, and they were about ready to crash. You know, they were going to drown, they were shivering in the middle of the night, and didn't know what they was going to do, and he walked out there and he said, "Don't be afraid, it's me." He was there in their darkest hour. He was right there. God never leaves us. We can always count on that. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Chapter 31, verse 6. says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with you. He will never fail you nor forsake you. He will not fail you. You know, sometimes it would be a good thing for you to look back at your past and try to remember all these impossible circumstances that you faced. Remember the things where you thought, this is surely the end of it for me. I won't be able to survive this. I don't know how we can financially hold out on this situation. I don't know how we can get through this impossible spot we're in. But look back at all those hard spots where you had your back up against the wall and you didn't think there was any way forward. And then look at yourself now. You'll have to understand this, that God has a 100% track record of bringing you through impossible situations. All those situations that you couldn't figure out how to get out of, guess what? He brought you through. Do you remember? Some of those situations seem so dark and so hard. But today, they're just a light memory now. Why is that? Because God brought us through the valley of the shadow of death. He brought us through. Now look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. And we'll carry on with our adventure here on this daydreaming stuff. I got a lot of spankings over daydreaming when I was in school. But that's God's design. He designed us to daydream. He wants us to visualize our results. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, when I ran into that verse the first time, I thought, oh man, I found a bird nest on the ground. This is cool. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. That means the poverty thing is taken care of. The sickness thing is taken care of. You know, I really needed some help with my body. And I thought, this finally is my answer. And I told this pastor this verse, and he said, that's for the Jews. I said, huh? He said, yeah, that's for the Jews. Yours are just spiritual blessings. And I didn't know how to defend it. But once I finally found this other verse, verse 29, I tell people, every time you read verse 13 and 14, make sure you read verse 29. If you be Christ, that means if you're born again, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's not an Israeli promise. That's not a Jewish promise. Because you're born again, you're the seed of Abraham. And you fell heir to everything he had. It's yours. He had vibrant health. He had finances he couldn't even count. A lot of camels, a lot of sheep, a lot of goats, donkeys. He had everything he needed. Amen? And then he got his child of promise. You've been blessed. That's one of the first things we have to understand. God has blessed us. He is not punishing us for our mistakes of the past. He's not even punishing you for the mistakes of yesterday. If he was going to punish you for the mistakes of yesterday, then he'd have to take Romans chapter 8, verse 1 out of there. So, which says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So if he's going to punish you, he has to take that verse out of there. Period. Now there is a devil out there. Did you know that? And, you know, people have this habit of tearing down their hedge of protection and letting the devil in. The Bible says, therefore, give no place to the devil. So if the Bible says to not give place to the devil, then it's possible for us to give place to the devil. So when we do stuff, let the devil in, he comes in and causes havoc, and then people blame God. So God's punishing me for... I'm going to tell you something. If God was to punish you for your sins, then why would he put Jesus on the cross? Jesus paid for your sins. Period. Now, let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 8. And we'll look at the second thing. We're redeemed from the curse. We absolutely have to understand that. Romans chapter 4. Verse 8. Says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. How about that? Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute sin. That means he's not charging you for your sin. 1 John 1:7 tells us that the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin. Now, when we do sin, that gives the devil place. See how that works? It's not God doing bad things to you. The devil gets in the back door. See, that's the danger of some of these people running around saying they're saved by grace and they're just living like total idiots. Well, I can go have an affair. I'm saved by grace. Well, you are saved by grace, but you open that door to sexual immorality. Guess what? Well, I'm saved by grace. I can do this. I can do that. I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. There is a devil out there. And when you tear down your hedge of protection and you get out there into no man's land, he has a legal right to attack you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 21. Says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness is one of those words that I tried to stay away from. As far away from that word as I could possibly get. And the devil knows how important this word is. The devil knows probably more about this word than Christians seem to. But righteousness means you're in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. It does not mean right doing. If it meant right doing, then now it's about your performance and your ability to perform and your ability to not sin, your ability to do the right thing, your ability to follow the law. You do right things because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you don't do right things to become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because of the shed blood of Jesus alone. Now, I heard this word righteous long before I got to church. Matter of fact, I heard that word in the bar before I even got born again. I heard that word righteous. And it went something like this. We were sitting there drinking beer, and somebody said, "Those self-righteous hypocrites tell us not to go down here and drink beer when I know they drink beer." But when I got born again, I said, "I am staying away from that word." And actually, I thought righteousness had something to do with the way you dressed. Well, that's not an original thought. Adam and Eve did too. Because when they sinned, they made clothes for themselves. They tried to cover up themselves from God. They tried to cover their mistakes. How many Christians try to do that? How many people try to do that? Try to make themselves look like something. Try to make themselves look a certain way so that the general public perceives them as being the way they want to be seen. This is a dangerous word to get mixed up with. It gets kind of mixed up with the blessing. Sometimes people will show up in churches and they'll want to look righteous. They'll want to look like they're being blessed. They'll do everything they have to do to be blessed. And they'll go down to the bank and they'll get a loan. They'll buy a $300,000 house and a $100,000 pickup, show up in church, see. They got this brand new pickup. They got this brand new house. They got really fun toys. And they are poverty stricken. They don't understand that they're going to pay for that stuff twice. But they wanted people to look at them as being blessed. Now the reason I got mixed up with righteousness is looking the way a certain way is because when I was a kid one time I showed up in a church and I had dirty clothes, you know. I mean, that was kind of I was a rescue. I was pretty much feral. Anyway, they ran me out of that church because I had dirty clothes. I thought, well, okay. I guess I can't go to church unless I really look nice. You know how many people worry and won't go to church because they don't have nice clothes? That's nonsense. They need to go to church. God will take care of the clothing later. Amen. They need to understand that they've been put in right standing with God. See, this is the whole thing. When the Jews were under the law, if they did everything absolutely right and according to the law, they were in right standing with God. And they could expect to receive the blessing that He got. They didn't seem to ever get there, really. Not much. Now, because of the blood of Jesus being applied to our lives, we are in right standing with God. And now, because of what Jesus did, we can expect to receive the blessings in our life. So we need to understand those things. We're redeemed from the curse of the law. God is not imputing sins to you, and you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're in right standing with God. See, when you get confused with those three things, you're going to have a hard time having a positive image of your outcome. Whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're exactly right. 100%. But if you will change your belief, and the only way to change your belief is to change your understanding, change your vocabulary. Once you start saying the right things and reading the right things, you're going to start seeing the right thing. You're going to start visualizing the right things. And when you visualize the right things, you're going to start seeing the right things, because you're going to start calling things that aren't as though they are. See, I've done a lot of things that people in my hometown said were impossible for me to do. Because growing up feral and being wild and, you know, and being on the wrong side of the tracks, all the different excuses, you know, all the different reasons that they had for me, and then being a high school dropout, you know, all these things, they said, you're just doomed to failure. Well, I believed that. I grew up hearing that, and I bought into a hook, line, and sinker, and I was a failure. Even when I was successful at some little thing, I'd find a way to mess it up so I could fail. And then, you know, somebody, by the grace of God, went out of his way and got me born again. And I started reading the Bible, and what God had to say about me was completely different than what people had to say about me. See, God said that I could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That didn't sound anything like what I was raised with. That didn't sound like anything like any of the teachers told me. That didn't sound anything like anybody around me ever said. So I thought, wow, I like what God has to say about me better than what these other people had to say about me. So I just started believing what God said about me. But I started having to read it and meditate on it. And amazing things started happening. Things that they said I couldn't do. You don't have enough money to do that. You don't have an education to do that. But when I changed my thinking, when I changed my vocabulary and my thinking, it changed my circumstances. You know, I worked as a water hauler, and I'd drive these water trucks, and I'd go out, and we'd have to be just muddy, nasty, horrible work sometimes. And we'd have to crawl under these trucks, we'd get chains on them, and just get completely nasty, muddy, terrible, horrible, sometimes bad. And one day I come walking through the shop, and I had clothes like these on. And I come walking in the office, some guy said, what are you doing? You're going out there, you're going to get all nasty. And I said, I don't want to look like I work here. I want people to think I own this place. And my boss was sitting right there. And pretty soon, and he paid attention to that. He seen that I was different than my fellows. And pretty soon he had me leading the crew. And then pretty soon, he just sent me plumb down to Texas to start a whole new yard for him. How you see yourself is going to determine how things work in your life. But you're going to have to find out how God sees you so that you don't have a skewed vision of yourself. You're going to have to stop believing what the world tells you you look at, you look like, and start believing what God says you look like. But you're going to have to find out what He says about you and start saying that so you can get that vision inside of you, so that you can think about it, daydream it, and look at it, so you can see it all the time. Keep it before your face all the time. So you have to keep those words on your tongue all the time. And then guess what? You're going to call things that aren't as though they are, and then they will be. And things will work out the way you see them working out. We better stop there. We're not going to get through the rest of these notes. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for everything that you do for us. And we thank you for this supernatural ability of visualization, Father. And we thank you that this is spurred on by meditation. And that meditation is supported by your word. And you gave us your word to put in our heart so that we can put it in our tongue, so that we can put it back in our heart. We can put it in our ears. We can put it in our heart. We can put it in our mouth. Put it in our ears. Put it in our heart. We can keep meditating on your word. And we know that your word will build faith in our hearts, and that we will call things supernaturally into existence. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have snacks and coffee back here and fellowship. Come on back and have some.